Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. Are you looking for dice or accessories for your tabletop gaming? Look no further than Metallic Dice Games, a premium vendor of metallic and gemstone dice. Listeners of this podcast can receive 10% off any purchase anytime by using the promo code RBP10. So head on over to metallicdicegames.com for all your gaming needs. And don't forget to use the promo code RBP10 to save 10% on any purchase. Enjoy the show.
The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Damn game.
Okay, so can Chip kick off of the beer?
Absolutely, sounds fantastic. I love it.
Okay.
100% rule of cool.
Yes.
As you slide across the still smoking, though not as much smoking, carcass of your
It's more like a penguin skimming across the ice.
Yeah.
What do I need to do? Can I use the corpse as a battering ram on the weakened ice?
Sure. Roll me a, let's just see how much oomph you can put into it. Just roll me a strength check.
4.
Like 2 feet. Little bit more. Little kick.
No, I imagine it's a little bit more like, have you seen the blonde-haired woman in a bikini who tries to jump into the lake? Have you seen that video, Daniel?
Yeah, I've seen
more
it.
Like that. This woman leaps off a pier and she like goes to like she pulls her legs up in like a cannonball to go through the ice, and she just lands right on her tailbone and just like sprawls over with a scream.
I think the point of it was she didn't know that it was frozen over. So
I think somebody's like, "Yeah, jump in, you'll bust through," and she did not bust through.
Bust her ass.
It's a little bit more like that. It's the strength was more in the control, so you kind of smash your face into the ice on the far side.
Nice.
It's not bad enough I'm going to assign damage, but you do...
it's a good thing.
You sling all the way across, and you kind of thump into the ice. But you're across the room.
Okay. Can I stand up?
Okay, hold on. I need a fort save.
Do I still get the D24?
I'll give it to you for one more round, just because it was cool.
9.
At this point, you realize moving more than just a couple of feet is going to be essentially impossible.
Okay. I'm not trying to move anywhere. I'm just trying to stand up.
Yep, you can stand up.
Okay.
You are now standing.
Make me a strength check that isn't shit. What do you got on you? How are you going through?
I have a club.
All right,
I have Steve's club. That's an 11.
Okay. I will say with that, you are able to break through the ice and you fall out into some sort of subterranean area of the keep.
Need to make sure exactly where the hell did it up.
You've kind of appeared on a landing. It's kind of, there are stairs going up to your left. There are stairs going down to your right. You sort of have come in like crossways on it. You can tell that a further passage goes beyond. And there are a few gold coins laying right there on the landing.
Okay. I will pick those up and I will keep an ear out to hear if anything's moving beyond.
Okay. You don't hear anything immediately.
Okay.
Let me look at something here.
What about the other characters? What is the thought here now that he's done what he's done?
So you found another passageway then? Is that something you're relaying to us or no?
Yes, Steve's corpse peeks back in through the hole and one arm gets flung to say, come on.
All right, so...
Three gold pieces.
Okay.
Ooh.
They seem to be leading like a crossway. So if the stairs go up and down to your left and right, it's almost like you came through the wall in an awkward, like semi-sealed way. Directly across from you appears to be like a short access hallway or something.
Is there anything down that hallway?
I didn't want to start assuming that you were walking down it.
Well, no, I'm just looking from where I am. I can see 30 feet.
Yeah, no, you don't see anything within 30 feet.
Okay.
It just appears to be a hallway. In all my glorious drawing, kind of like that. So Jeff has come through the portal, across through the opening, into this landing on this set of stairs. These stairs go up. These stairs go down. They seem to turn as if they climb a little bit. And then there's kind of this straight hallway off. The gold pieces were kind of like two there and then one kind of down that hallway just a tad. The rest of you.
Bajir is going to, he's going to go ahead and try to slide across as quickly as possible.
Sure.
And while he's doing it, he wants to try to slide by Elric and grab his pack.
Roll and make me an agility. Roll me an agility.
It's a 16.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh. No, you actually do it kind of cool style, go sliding in and you kind of drop down to your hip and you like snag the pack off of his arm. It probably breaks because it's frozen by this point. And you end up on the other side, essentially right next to the halfling.
All right.
Kraken, McCracken.
Yeah, Kunch will be like, hey, it looked easy when he did it. Here we go. Running start.
Right onto his belly. Just don't roll a one. At this point, I'm going to just, as long as you don't roll a one, we're going to be okay.
Four. He's going to, whoa, there we go.
You kind of plinko or ping pong your way across, but you make it.
All right, Bub next. Hey, let's do it. 16. Oh, Bub is like, it's almost like he's not touching the ice.
He invents the triple sow cow on the way.
All right, it's Ulrich's turn. Ulrich the shaman. Ulrich and Elric were brothers, in case you guys didn't know. But
oh well, of course.
20.
Oh,
perfect.
Bub's a little
shaman
jealous.
Floats across. Don't know how. He just starts floating.
Beezus. 20.
I love that you're all using 20s.
He's been carried by a bunch of bees, just floating.
The dwarf takes a running leap and jumps onto the dead body that's in there and coasts it across.
Excellent.
I hope he trips and falls.
It's an 8. Oh,
okay. Well, that's not a 1, so.
You know how, frostburnt chicken looks? It's kind of the pieces that you're picking off your ass as you end up getting to the other side.
Oh, God.
And the merchant did not get a 1.
Okay. That's all that matters.
You got a 2.
It basically says in the adventure that the characters can slide freely across if they get a running leap. It's just kind of how long it takes you to figure that out. So I am impressed with how you handled that room, so I'll give... Oh, wait.
Trimothy's still got to go. He's like just sitting there like, oh, this is so dumb. Come on, Trimothy! Give it a go!
I guess Elric was just being too cautious.
11.
Okay, that almost looked like a 1 from here. Like, uh-oh.
I bet he's just kind of like slugging across.
Elric was legit worried that there was going to be something to free this guy, and that's why he was being cautious, and that's why he perished.
Yeah, as I say, crossing the room slowly was part of the problem. You all get across the room, and I'm going to give everybody 2, because that was relatively well done.
Orc's about halfway there. Well, he is halfway there. It's
Chip
10,
is
right?
Halfway there.
Yeah, Bub is 10, as right? Well.
Yeah, yep. 5.
They're learning. I think I have a description for where you're at. You pause for an instant on the broad stone steps. The hint of gold glimmers at the edge of your light several steps below. You definitely don't see that because McCracken's already picked it up.
Bub's like... I swear there was gold here. Like, dabs his finger on the ground and... My God.
Pizza smells funny.
You do smell more gold across the hallway.
Yep. So down the hallway, there's some more gold.
Yeah, not up or down the stairs, straight across.
I was like, well, treasure lies ahead.
You know the old cartoons where the there's like a pie in the window and the character is floating?
Floating yep. towards it?
Yeah. That's how the dwarves are.
Oh, are you walking across?
Yeah, bubble. Go cautiously. Looking around, checking for traps.
Don't go cautiously. We learned our mistake.
It is pitch black in here, so I'm assuming the only thing you have at this point is Bub's lantern.
Yeah.
Okay. The narrow hall is lined with cut stone blocks. Dusty cobwebs hang from the low ceiling, and time itself seems to weigh upon this ancient place. A trio of upended chests rests in the shadows in the rear of a chamber amid a scattering of coins. Tracks in the dust record the path of recent looters.
Hmm.
But there's still stuff available.
Yes. There are three chests and some spilled coins littering the floor. Can I get a D20, a D12, and a D8? Everybody pick one.
We each get a different one?
Well, or... D20, D12, D8.
Okay.
12. 8.
So, Flynn, the 8 was GP, so there's 8 gold.
Okay.
1.
You were silver, so there's 1 silver. And you were...
19.
Copper, so 19 copper. So that's what you find on the floor.
Ah.
You write down what you got, you write down what you got, and I'll write down what I got.
You can split it up however you want, but that is what is on the floor as mm-hmm. you kind of pick it up. You do also relatively notice as you're kind of like looking in the chests and stuff. The chests are empty.
What if you think that we're looking in the chests?
Yeah, I was definitely.
All right. Never mind then.
I want to look.
They're
at
laying
the...
there upside down and open.
Oh, okay. So that's a different story.
I thought it was going to be a puzzle with like looking at the tracks and figuring out who led to what and following the tracks.
It was just going to be a mimic.
A trio of upended chests rest in the shadows amid a scattering of coins.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I was wondering, if there was anything left untouched, because it looks like it has been scavenged.
No, it looks like it's been ransacked and this was the shit that was left.
The coins we found, they just left without them, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
That's why I didn't know if you were going to upright the chests or peer into them or anything.
Well, yeah.
Yes, Marek, the chest maker would be very interested.
Admire
in
that craft.
You notice it immediately. One of those chests has a false bottom.
Oh, awesome.
You just glancing at the chests, since you are a chest maker, it seems like one of the bottoms is 4 inches, like, you can just glance at it and you can see that there's a false bottom that's like a 4-inch gap.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's resting, you can tell it's not on the front and probably not on at least one of the sides. So the compartment is probably accessed from the back of the chest or the opposite side.
Okay.
I don't want you to interact with the chest until you say you want to interact with the chest.
Yes, I want to interact with the chest.
Okay. There is a, it does look like there is a false panel in the back of the chest.
Okay. I will check it for traps.
So I will call that a perception, right? I don't know what all the skills are. I'm going to assume it's a perception.
Yeah, I think so.
But you're not trained in traps. You are trained.
Wait, no, that's personality.
Oh, sorry, that's personality. Strength, agility.
Or wait, is it perception?
I know exactly how traps and chests are made.
That's fair. You are a chest maker. I'm just wondering what your ad is.
It doesn't matter. There's not an ad.
Trust me.
Fair enough.
It's a 12.
You don't think it's trapped?
Cool. I'll try and open it.
Okay. Can you make me a reflex save? Oh, God.
I didn't say he was a good chest maker. That's a 9.
Okay. I'm gonna roll a die, and I'd like you to roll a D2.
2.
As the back of the chest comes open, and the compartment comes open, and he kind of turns and sticks his hand in to kind of get it done, and as he does, there's a loud chopping noise.
Oh, no.
And the chest maker comes back missing 2 fingers as a gout of blood goes shooting across the room. It's not great. I rolled 3 damage. Is the chest maker alive?
Yes.
You are bleeding profusely all over the place, and you have lost 2 fingers on whichever hand you stuck in there.
Okay.
But you come back with some stuff. You find 2 silver rings set with emeralds. You find a silk tabard stitched with the sigil of chaos. And a steel vial with some sort of liquid in it.
You're going to have to tell me that again. I got 2 silver rings set with emeralds.
Correct. A silk tabard stitched with the sigil of chaos. And a steel vial containing some sort of liquid or oil.
Okay.
The shaman wants to offer his help to help you stop bleeding.
That
from
would
your
be nice.
Fingers.
Yes, you can stop him from bleeding.
Okay.
Can I get an intelligence check? Yeah, whatever. It is intelligence, right? What is it?
It's intelligence.
Strength, agility. I really got to learn these. Personality,
okay, yeah. Intelligence, luck.
Right. Rolling intelligence for the shaman.
I have 1 pound of herbs. Don't know if that'll...
You could probably use it to staunch the bleeding. I don't know that you could do any healing with it.
Oh, but... I see what you're saying. Okay.
Make a poultice.
Right.
It's a 9.
You're pretty sure, just kind of looking at that vial, you could tell that there's 1 to 2 doses of that. You're pretty sure that that's something, that is a healing solution.
Here, drink some of this. Won't bring your fingers back, but it'll make you feel better.
Brassrox will take a dose.
You drink about half of it. You gain 3 hit points.
Nice. Anybody else hurt?
Nope.
Your other character, isn't he?
Oh, yes. The halfling?
The halfling is. I just wanted to make sure nobody else needed anything.
Nope.
Yeah, the halfling will take the other half.
You get back 5 points. So you both probably go up to your max.
Okay, I was going to ask.
I don't think you can overcook hit points.
Bashir, the jeweler, kind of want... Unless you have more
coding. No. Let me... you can overcook it. My apologies.
Okay.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, Bashir, the jeweler, wants to look at the rings.
What rings?
Do we need... I mean... Oh, we're clearly seeing the pot, or the health pot. Health pot.
I mean, yeah, I guess it depends on whether or not Jeff wants to share them with you. If we can have character... This becomes PvP real quick.
Yes, I'll share.
Bashir is neutral. He just wants to identify them.
They are silver rings with emeralds. You would set them at a price of... They're nicely done. Probably somewhere between, like... 10 and 30 gold.
Okay, so they're just money. They're not anything special.
No, not as far as you could tell.
Okay.
I should keep in mind, since you haven't read all the rule book, I know I talked to Jeff about this. I don't know if I talked about it in the group chat or not. Magic items are like really fucking rare. Okay. Like to get a +1 staff, you have to be like 1 in 10,000 people to even be able to make it. So, like, getting, like, a +3 or +4 weapon or spell scroll or anything, like, magic items are unbelievably rare. So, even if it was magic, you probably wouldn't even know necessarily what it was.
Okay.
This does end in this chamber. This was just a small antechamber that clearly was, at one point, housing gold.
Okay.
So, that leaves you the ice room, up the stairs, or down the stairs.
Dragon's downstairs.
It's true.
And he will give us a quest.
That is also true.
That's what we've heard. I say we had good luck. We found our way into the subterranean area. Let's keep going down.
Okay. Wide stone steps descend into a long hall. The walls are decorated with elaborate tile mosaics depicting foul ceremonies to horrific and baleful fiends. The walls are slick with condensation and black algae. The condensation runs in rivulets and collects in a long, brackish pool set in the center of the hall.
Algae.
Algae. Alga. It's alga.
Alga.
Can I have every character still alive make a roll and add their luck modifier, if any?
One for every character?
Yes, please.
The merchant got a 14.
Okay.
Halfling got a 19.
Okay.
Oh, when I had to spend luck, were you counting that as 2 per?
I should have been. Did we not count it as 2 per?
I'm not sure, because I don't know what the DC was.
I think I had you passing either way. You took half damage on that.
Yes, because it's the only way. Did I need to spend that much luck?
How much did you spend?
3.
I'll give you back a point.
Okay.
I don't remember if you needed to spend 1 or 2 to make it.
I mean, it doesn't matter as far as a modifier, but...
Yeah.
Just to know how much luck I have. And a 16 for the dwarf.
Okay.
Okay. Trimothy got a 15. Bub got an 8. Kunch got a 14. Beezus got a 2.
Okay.
Shaman... Beezus. Shaman got 5. The jeweler got 19.
Okay. So I'm going to leave you with this for the moment. Here are the mosaics. They're on the inside cover. You may want to take a look at that. You may want to talk. Everyone can inspect the mosaics except for the jeweler and the halfling. I'm gonna go pee. Talk amongst yourselves. Feel free to describe the mosaics to the audience.
So in the east wall, we have a man dressed in looks to be robes atop a looks like a hill or maybe some kind of raised dais overlooking a sea. There's a kraken coming out of maybe the sea, maybe a pit on the other side of the sea. There's a lightning bolt splitting it into two horizontally. On the right side of the east wall, there is the shadow of what looks to be a demon holding a scepter with skull at the top. There is a woman who is tied to a platform, and she looks like she's struggling against bonds. And there's a crescent moon. On the west wall, there are two very metal-looking dudes in the middle. One kind of looks like Skeletor. Guessing that's the guy who is holding the scepter because he has a very similar scepter, although he's sharing the scepter with another dude who has a Rorschach mask for a helmet and a big dope axe. Maybe it's the guy who was frozen in ice. Hard to say. On the right-hand side, there are some cat people and a lizard. They got spears. And then on the left-hand side, there are some other ugly-looking dudes, maybe a goblin, maybe a lobster man, a horse-headed dude, maybe a guy on a horse, I don't know. And then also some kind of dragon thing.
If I didn't know better, I would think you made all of that up.
Yeah, it sound pretty, not very...
How'd I do, Jeff?
Huh?
How'd I do?
Fairly not bad. Yeah.
The best part is Cody didn't get to hear that part, and he won't be able to hear it until it releases, or it gets edited. I don't know.
You might want to take a picture of it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Flynn just gave the best description of it.
Oh, yeah?
And Jeff,
I broke it down for
Jeff said that if he didn't see it, he wouldn't have believed the description.
He just thought you were bullshitting for the last, like, 10 minutes.
You should have heard the description, yes.
Well, I mean, it was enough time for me to pee, talk to Brozier for a few minutes, go outside, get a drink, come back, and I heard you giggling, so I knew you were not yet done.
Yeah, but say Jeff got it just before you came down.
As you're inspecting the mural, which you guys can continue to kind of talk through it, what's the jeweler's name?
Bashir
and McCracken. You both suddenly notice that they're not really inspecting the walls like everybody else. They're actually like, this hallway is very long. It's maybe only like 30 or 40 feet wide at the most, but it runs a long way. And all the water, the floor must be sloped, and it runs into like this brackish pool that runs the length. It's not necessarily super deep, but it is long. Both of them have walked over to the water's edge and appear to be bending over and putting their hands in the pool. And then they extract something, and then they seem to stow it away.
Is that the Lorax holding a sword?
The jeweler.
I think that's the Lorax holding the sword. Does the axe guy look familiar to us at all?
Yeah, kinda.
Like he was frozen in ice?
The axe definitely looks familiar.
Let me get a quick picture.
I should have just sent it to you in the chat.
You should do that anyway.
Because Daniel didn't take a picture of it.
Great idea.
So I think there is. You also find, for those of you who are inspecting the walls, there are a series of alcoves sort of concealed in the corners of the hall. Almost like just a slight bend and twist.
Okay, what was that?
You notice that there's a, as you're inspecting the walls, like in the corners, so in the four corners, there's like a small alcove, almost. Like just a recessed, almost like a coat closet or something. Kind of just a small recessed to either side of the murals that Flynn so lovingly described. Are you enjoying Dungeon Crawl Classics so far?
Yes, I am. I've never gotten to Tauntaun a PC.
I mean, this game just, by its very nature, it encourages you to do these things. You know what I mean? Like, you're not thinking about the numbers. You're not going, okay, it's a -4, or okay, it's a plus whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I like my halfling, and I'm going to keep trying to keep him around, but yeah, I'm also going to keep doing stupid shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you could always theoretically roll another halfling.
Could.
One of the other things that I'm really interested in possibly picking up is apparently there are a lot of third-party products for this game.
Yeah.
So a lot of, like, here's other ways to do classes, or here's other ways to do these types of things. Because Dungeon Crawl Classics, or I guess Goodman Games, hasn't shown any, like, we're going to do an expanded this, or we're going to do this. No. This is the whole game. Right. So I'd be interested to see what third-party supplements actually are.
This game, or spell? Is it just, like, thing
you get, you know your spells. You get, like, three spells. You know your spells. Okay. The big thing with... The big difference is for wizards, if wizards... Wizards can keep using their spells until they blow a roll.
Yes.
Once they blow a roll, they forget it for the day, and then they can potentially be corrupted. The big minus for clerics is that clerics, they have a disapproval that starts at one, and basically anytime you are using a spell from your god, anytime you roll, if you roll a one, your range expands. So say you botch a spell. Now you're going to botch a spell. Basically, your god has disapproved of your action, and now you're going to botch spells on 1 to 2. Botch it 1 to 2, you're now going to botch spells on 1 to 3.
Yeah.
You
it
also,
keeps getting easier.
You also can, if you, for example, like, say you're a lawful character, and you heal Flynn, who is chaotic, your god's not going to look upon that well either.
Really?
So that might really jump things. You can even lose spells because of that. You can be given, like, a magical... Or I guess I could say your deity could then impose some sort of sanction on you. You could lose all your spells for the day. You know, you could have stat modifiers. Like, it can be bad. So,
Wow. Something
else to think about. Again, it's just kind of giving you fun shit to roleplay, which is cool. I mean, and then that's the thing is, like, yeah, you kind of get the character and maybe you find some fun in it. And then the character dies and then you roll up a few more. Some of the
probably going to be me before the end of the night.
Possibly. You haven't found any other characters yet, so. Alcoves in the Four Corners, the two at the pool who have pocketed something. I also don't know if it's mentioned in the description. I'm pretty sure there's a door at the end of the hallway. What would you gentlemen like to do?
Look and see what I just pocketed.
Yeah, that's what I was asking him earlier, but he said he didn't want to repeat it twice, so.
You don't really know that you pocketed anything. You're just looking down at the pool.
Okay, what do I see in the pool?
Hundreds and hundreds of human skulls.
Well, I feel like if I would have pocketed a skull, I would have probably realized it or feel it in my pocket. Especially the halfling, because, I mean, depending on what size of skull it is, that's going
to
be a big bulge out of his pocket or his pack.
Halfling and say,
I mean, there's a rather large bulge there anyway.
Oh, it's even bigger now. Now it's making everyone else guess.
Now, little fella, I'm gonna ask to see what's in your pants.
Okay.
He says, okay. Never mind. Please continue. I was gonna do something else, but it's fine. Go ahead.
There's consent.
Ha! Now, what'd you just put in your pocket?
He says, it's important.
Okay, good. Show me.
You can't answer that question. But having said that, you realize that there is something very uncomfortable, kind of slightly jabbing you in your pouch that isn't a normal thing.
Nature's pouch.
Oh, no, it's probably in my small sack.
There he is.
So you're like, that's weird. That sack was empty earlier.
Yeah. So I'll go to look in the sack.
It's a human skull. The eyes on the skull are glowing faintly. The eye sockets, I should say.
Okay, I'll pull it out.
He holds up a human skull, mostly intact, probably lower jaw missing. I mean, it's not, you know, clickety-clackety kind of intact.
I'll say, hey, I'm not Steve, but...
McCracken has a morbid fascination with dead bodies.
Yeah,
just Steve.
But the
really
the...
didn't like Steve.
I like the idea that you created four characters that actually hate each other.
That's good.
But the eyes are glowing softly, almost like there's a candle or something within, some unknown source of light emanating out of the sockets.
Now, Chip, don't you think you should maybe put that back? It's not yours.
Who does it belong to, then?
Well, I suppose whoever lost it.
I don't think they want it no more.
But yes, you see under the slightly brackish water, Bashir, you see hundreds of skulls. Again, it kind of slopes down towards the middle a little bit. So like right at the edges, there might only be one or two, but you can see that like there's a pile of like down towards the middle there. There's like, I don't know, 12 or 14 stacked on top of each other in a big ring, it looks like.
Do they have glowing eyes?
You gonna dig around in the water?
Yeah.
You're like, why are my hands wet? Weird.
No, it'd probably be the shaman who does this.
Yeah, you can. How far are you going into the water? Just kind of reaching over.
Just kind of reaching in there and trying to dig through the skulls.
Yeah.
I can't see any of that match.
Before you can even put your hands down in the water, you see a skull sort of float to the surface with a faint glow emanating from its eye sockets.
Am I forced to grab it?
No.
Okay.
And we all see this?
Uh-huh.
The halfling looks at the skull that just floated up and is looking at us, and then down at the one at his hands, and back and forth, and then chucks the skull back in the water.
Plop, and it sinks.
It's probably for the best.
I'm proud of you, Chief.
I was thinking about smashing him, but that probably won't lead to anything good, so let's not do that.
Okay, there's this room with murals down two sides.
Correct.
A pool full of skulls.
Correct.
Is there anything else in here?
The four little coat closets.
Is there anything in the alcove?
There are. You find a set of moldy and rotten robes, one in each corner. They are a single hooded robe embroidered with bizarre sigils stitched in silver thread.
Okay, go get the glowing skulls. Put one in each alcove.
You can get skulls.
Bashir already has one, but he doesn't know he has one, I don't think. Unless someone said something to him.
Oh, we're standing there in front of you arguing about it.
You eventually figure out that you have a skull. Okay. You're able to put skulls. All right. You're able to put a skull in each alcove.
Okay. Does anything happen?
We hear a click and the door opens.
<Ba-na-na-na>. No. You don't. Oh. Nothing appears to happen.
Worth a shot.
Is there... How wide is the pool? Can we walk around it?
Oh, yeah.
Easily?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can get to the other door.
Yes.
On the other side of it.
You do notice that, like I said, it's as if the floor is kind of V'd down towards it, because in the center of the hallway, in the center left and right, as well as, you know, forward and backward, the water looks very, very deep.
Oh, okay.
In comparison. Like, all the way around for, like, the first couple feet, it's almost like a cistern or a basin, maybe? Like, the more you look at it, it doesn't appear like it's natural water just pooling. Like, almost like it's, yeah, a cistern, a basin. Like, it definitely in the middle, it gets fairly deep pretty quickly.
How many glowing skulls were we able to find?
How many did you attempt to pull out of the water?
I would go for a grand total of four.
Then you found four
floating. If that's how many alcoves there are.
As someone walks over the pool and looks down, a glowing-eyed skull floats up to meet them.
Okay.
So, theoretically, however many people were to do that, if four people did that, four people now have skulls.
Okay. Once we put them in each alcove and we see nothing happens, Chip is going to take one and put it back in his sack.
Got it.
Bub doesn't see this.
Nope. Bub is like, I'm no longer proud of you.
I'll have Beezus go check out that door.
So you're going farther down, right?
Uh-huh.
Actually, let me double check something. I may have said door, and I don't know if that's correct. No, I don't think that is correct, actually. It's like an open hallway, almost. Like, it's the hallway. They have a really cool interview with the writer in the back, but it kind of makes it a pain, because really, the map should be the last page. Yeah, it's a very wide hallway, like 30 or 40 feet, and then it's more like an archway or a narrowing down. It is wide open, but if you go down there, you can kind of turn your head, and it's a set of stairs going down. They seem to go down pretty steep, pretty quickly, and they seem to go down a ways.
Beezus will call for the group and say, I think there's a set of stairs down, perhaps to our dragon friend.
I was going to say, you find that dragon yet?
Not yet.
let's keep on keeping on.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
So the only person currently with a skull is McCracken.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Trimothy would definitely take a skull.
Okay. Also has a skull.
We are the same.
I'm trying to think of some shitty line about Yorick while he's walking down, but it's just not worth it right now. Jeff, you only have two characters at this point, right?
Three.
You do have three? Four.
No, three.
Four, F-O-R, the chest maker.
Yes.
And McCracken, can I get two fort saves?
The chest maker got an 8. McCracken got an 18.
Okay. Were either of them overcooked on HP?
McCracken was.
McCracken goes to normal? Goes to whatever his normal was? The chest maker doubles over in pain and apparently loses 4 hit points.
And drops dead.
Daniel, can the shaman make me a an intelligence roll?
Sure can. The 10.
Brass rocks down.
No! My God!
Is the whole clan down now?
Nope.
Just Bub. I will carry the name of Brass Rocks upon my boulder shoulders.
Like,
no, that's another clan.
You're like, huh, that's weird. That oil totally healed them.
Oh, no.
Well.
Everybody can have an experience point.
We learned something here today.
Okay. You were going down the stairs, correct?
Yes, going down the stairs.
Okay. The wide stone steps run down to the dark sand beach of a vast underground sea. Far out across the water, you can make out a golden glow through the gloom. An enormous menhir stands at the water's edge, dark waves lapping at its intricately carved faces. Past the towering standing stone, a dragon-prowed longship emerges from the darkness, its hull scrawled with forbidding sigils and runes that glow a sickly green in the dim light. The ship draws to a stop some 50 feet offshore. The beat of distant drums and far-off wails of terror mixes with the quiet lapping of the waves.
Now we're getting into some sailor stuff.
So, does it look kind of this. Like...
What, Jeff?
I said, oh, f*** this.
Was that Jeff or one of your characters?
That would totally be Melody.
Does the rock look like that?
Fairly similar. Flynn is talking about the mural from upstairs. You do notice that the menhir appears to be carved with various spirals. And there are if you approach it, it is sitting kind of on the water's edge, and you do see that there are a series of steps that ascend the menhir.
Say, friends, remember, or well, I won't. Let's see, Cunch. We'll say, friends, now remember when we saw that mural on the...
I'm just a simple country lawyer.
East-facing wall, we saw a fella clad in robes looking out from just a rock like this.
Now, what I really like is that because you're warbling and moving back and forth, I'm sure that the audio is going to be ridiculous.
Cunch got hit in the head.
Okay, so what do you want to do about it?
Beezus speaks up and says, it was obviously a fated one, a chosen, like me. Let me climb to the top. Let me speak to the gods who lie ahead.
Okay. Do you need one of those robes from upstairs?
Oh my God, yeah. I forgot about the robes.
Which guy are you talking about here?
You going back and grabbing a robe, multiple robes?
Can grab them all.
All right, you have all 4 robes. Is anybody in particular wearing the robes?
Beezus.
It smells bad and is wet.
Like me.
I hope Beezus sticks around for a while.
He starts climbing up the rock. I really like, want, oh no.
I really want Beezus to turn into the Messiah, Flynn.
If I die here, I will be but reborn.
As Beezus climbs the menhir, a narrow series of stones wind up to the surface. The top of the stone has been fashioned into like a simple platform. Mm-hmm. There's a shallow bowl cut into the center of the platform, so like a natural divot. The bowl is partially filled with hardened wax, and the stub of a red candle sits atop the mounds of wax.
It's like, is this beeswax?
I mean, I guess you could make an intelligence roll.
I need to know. That's 11.
Regardless of how many times you've attempted to make candles out of beeswax, it doesn't really make a great candle. So you don't think so. Probably not.
Cretans. All right. So we got a candle. Does the wick look like it's been burned?
Yes. This definitely looks like, it's a semi-melted candle. So okay. It's been, yeah. It's been lit before. Probably several times.
Okay. Beesus will call down and say, Bub, could I borrow that lantern?
Sure. You can get the lantern.
Bub hikes on up, gives him the lantern. I guess, however the lantern's lit, is there a way to...
Yeah, I'm going to assume that between the... How many characters are there now? Six?
We can light a candle.
Somehow.
Two, and...
I have four.
So, eight.
Oh, not bad. Yeah, not bad.
I get this bitch lit.
Yes, I'm figuring out somebody somewhere could figure out, even if you don't necessarily have flint and steel, you could figure out a way to light the candle.
He had to light the lantern somehow.
It's just been lit this whole time.
He's like, I bought it this way.
We gotta go.
He gets up to the top of the stone, and the lantern burns out.
Yep. Ah, hell.
The wick is gone. The oil is burned out.
As the lantern light is touched to the candle, you hear wood creaking and you hear the rush of water as the boat seems to magically just, almost like a Disney ride, just slides across the water and then sort of turns. So it's just perfectly lined up with the shore, so that basically you could just get the tops of your shoes wet and climb right up into the boat.
My chariot has arrived. Let us go, friends.
I'll hop in. Both of mine will.
Is there anything else around here? Is there any other ways to go besides the way we came in?
You do notice that it's a vast sea, but you do notice sort of to your right, there is sort of a craggy rock face. It does look like there may be something in that direction. Nothing obvious, but that's the only other place to explore. Everything else is water or cavern walls.
Craggy rock face was a good friend of mine.
Apparently not. He completely avoided him. Fine, we'll go into the ship. I don't want to take the risk to split the party to go check out the crag rock.
You notice that as soon as you kind of step out onto it, it kind of moves slightly and then stops. You realize it is also equipped with oars.
But no one was oaring?
Nope.
Interesting.
Are you paddling across?
Yeah. Everybody take an oar.
Your four characters can do it. You got plenty of
this. It is true. You can
Here we go.
As you start to paddle across, you can see that there is some sort of structure in the distance. Some sort of, you can tell where the water is lying. So it's obviously another portion of land, mm-hmm. of some sort, as you're crossing this vast, quote unquote, starless sea.
Name drop.
As if you are sailors,
oh my God.
Upon said starless sea.
Kunch is like, there was something else in that there window painting, wall painting. There was something, wasn't there some tentacles coming out of the water?
Shut up, Lenny.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Oh, goodness, yeah. There they are.
There they are.
As you make it, say, if you were going to measure an approximate distance, roughly halfway across the said starless sea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was about halfway across that sea. There were some tentacles or something.
You see some tentacles kind of slither up the side of the boat. They kind of come up and kind of sort of wiggle on either side of the boat.
They're waving. Keep rowing.
Hello, fish friends.
You keep rowing?
That gets my vote.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not actively attacking.
No. They seem to be moving along with you.
Yay. Join us on our journey across the starless sea.
They're speeding us up. They're carrying us across the sea.
Fish friends.
You continue to row?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we even have a never mind. Just keep going.
You row for another moment, a few more moments, and then all of a sudden,
this is going great.
The boat just stops.
Dunk.
As the, you now notice that several tentacles have now wrapped around the back of the boat tightly and are preventing it from moving.
Pierce, we've arrived.
Because we haven't done it yet, and because it feels appropriate, let's roll initiative just in case it's needed.
Wait, everybody rolls initiative?
No, roll initiative for your highest character.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
For what?
Basically, roll initiative for whoever has the biggest bonus in agility.
Okay. Well, this was my first roll, and this was my second roll.
So
I'm keeping the first roll.
Okay. Roll. So what's yours, Jeff?
It's a nat 20.
Okay. Ooh.
The second roll was a 1.
You don't need that roll. Flynn?
8.
8? Daniel?
I also got an 8.
Ooh.
High or low, Daniel?
Low.
It is low. I'll put you in front of Flynn. So again, we take this at the player level, not necessarily the character level. So Jeff has first initiative, so any and all remaining characters for Jeff can act. At this point, there are several tentacles kind of, again, coming up the sides, almost caressing the ship. But at this point now, several additional tentacles have wrapped around the stern and are preventing this boat from moving forward. It is your character's turn. All of them.
I don't know what I need to do.
Let me think if there was anything else in that picture.
Yeah.
Definitely some tentacles.
A large number of them, as I recall.
Maiden getting sacrificed by Rorschach monster, but that's on the other side of the lightning.
Throw that skull at it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else.
Yeah, Chip will take out the skull and hold it up.
Okay. Are you doing anything else with the skull when you hold it up?
Not that I know of.
It's glowing brighter than it was before.
Okay. Can I get over and touch it to the tentacles?
Sure.
Okay.
The tentacle seems to kind of wrap around the skull a little bit and almost hold it. You notice it's not like aggressively pawing at you or anything. It's almost like it's feeling it, weighing it, inspecting it. Any other characters for you, Jeff?
Yeah, but I don't know what to do with Melody.
Okay. Daniel.
Bajir's gonna run over and hack at one of the tentacles with the long sword that he picked up from
No,
Elric.
Don't hit it! It is an ally. A fellow sailor on the sea.
That stopped us in our tracks.
It only wanted to pause for a moment.
No, I don't think so.
You fool.
Now, because this wasn't the weapon from my occupation, because this is what I got when I snatched up Elric's belongings,
mm-hmm.
I get some kind of disadvantage, I think, but I don't know what it is.
I'm going to go ahead and let you roll it at D20. Why not? Fuck it.
He wants you to hit it.
17.
Ooh.
17. Roll some damage, please.
5.
5. Who is this again?
Bajir. The jeweler.
So as Bajir runs over this longsword screaming, ah! And he slices into this tentacle. The whole boat shudders as blood and ichor come pouring out of the tentacle. Anything else your characters want to do?
I think the shaman's going to start praying.
Excellent. Excellent. Flynn.
Huh. So did that tentacle, like, withdraw?
No, it's kind of whipping up around the boat and blood and stuff is kind of flinging everywhere, this black grossness. What's the water it doing seems with... to be churning underneath the boat.
What is it doing with the skull?
Nothing at the moment. It's still holding it.
Just holding it. Beezus will say, "We must bestow upon our friend many gifts. It requires gifts for passage." "Here, blessed sailor friend, here's a jar of my finest honey."
You're just tossing that over the edge?
I hand it to one of the tentacles. Beezus okay. holds it out.
All right.
What does it do Beezus with the honey? Beezus does
no apparent reaction at this point. Anything else your other characters want to do?
So it's not like taking it, weighing it?
No, it is not.
You have some sh- honey.
Cunch was going to try to put a pair of gloves on the tentacles, but I guess that's not going to work. Perhaps you're interested in something more liquid. And Puff will take a copper piece and you lack money.
Okay.
Then Timothy's going to say, "This is so childish." And he brandishes his razor. And he's going to try to attack one of the
sure, absolutely.
Tentacles. One that's specifically like holding,
yeah, absolutely.
Holding it firm. Strike. Got a 5.
The blade seems to bounce off of the thick hide of the, for lack of a better term, let's call it a Leviathan.
Oh, God!
Is that your character's turns?
Yeah. Bub offered a coin. Cunch thought about giving it gloves. Beezus is offended.
Not that I need it, Daniel, necessarily, but what's Bashir's, say, armor class?
10.
Well, I got more than a 10. How many hit points does Bashir have?
4.
So the tentacle that's whipping around and bloody, you see that Bashir kind of is standing there holding the long sword, very proud of himself almost, and another one comes sweeping across the deck, wraps up Bashir, pulls him into the air, and a second one comes up and just tears him in half. His blood goes pouring all over the deck. Jeff.
Is there any change with the skull?
At this point, it appears to have dropped the skull. All whereas before it was kind of interacting and feeling, it seems to have gone into battle rage. All of them are now flipping and moving and doing that kind of thing. There's a long time without anybody talking, so I was like,
"Sorry,
no, you're good."
Yeah, I just don't know what to do. What does it show?
Tentacles are coming out of some kind of pit, or it could just be like a whirlpool.
I was gonna say it looks like water to me.
Yeah.
Chip is gonna try reciting what was on the door.
Okay.
With the skull.
Sure. Make me an intelligence roll, I guess, to see what you remember.
14.
Okay, you begin reciting it verbatim. You easily recite it.
Okay.
It doesn't appear to have any effect that you notice.
Okay.
How big is the boat?
Not super big. It kind of depicts it a little bit like a Viking longboat, so maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 feet long.
Okay.
Total.
Melody pulls out her holy symbol and branches it.
Okay, we'll do that. Daniel, your remaining character.
Shaman still praying.
To anyone or anything?
Yeah.
Just praying. Anything in particular?
To Beezus.
Praying for his life.
Okay.
Everybody but Beezus. Who got him on the boat in the first place?
Any particular anything?
I don't know at this point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
we'll say that the longsword is still on the boat if anybody wants it. Since he got torn apart.
So isn't a 20 gold piece gem, a small sack, and 183 copper pieces and thief tools.
Flynn, your characters.
It's almost like he has 3 characters worth of shit.
Beezus will say, "Oh, look, tithes!" And pick up all the stuff that the other character dropped. What sources of light do we have?
Other than the lantern, and there's sort of a glow in the distance that you were heading toward, that's about it.
Okay, Bub's going to say, "Sailors on a starless sea, He's going to put the lantern out.
That's a choice. Okay. It gets dark on the boat. Who's next?
Beezus looted a body.
Yeah.
Bub put a lantern out. Nothing. We didn't get a click and...
No.
Now we can't see.
That's pretty accurate.
Kunch is a halfling. 30 feet around past the tentacles in the water. Is there anything?
No, I mean, you are pretty much in a wide open cavern. I mean, are you wanting to, like, dive off into the water?
Thinking about it.
It's fair.
Kunch and Trimothy will... So if they are preventing us from going forward, I'm going to have them on one oar on each side start rowing backwards.
Okay, sure. That's an idea. Roll a strength.
Kunch, you got plus one strength, bud. This is your thing. 13 for Kunch.
Okay.
Trimothy gets 4.
Trimothy. So now you're kind of spinning in a circle.
I think we're losing them. I don't know why you went Barney Fife there. Andy!
That's your characters, yes?
Beezus, if he gets any other action, he will try to parlay with the beast.
Okay.
Say, friend, you know me. I am he who lit the candle. This is my boat. These are my friends. Let us pass. We will give you what you want.
What is Melody's alignment, Jeff?
Neutral.
What is Melody's armor class?
10?
Just making sure some of them are less than 10.
No, hers is 10.
Okay. Again, it's dark on the boat now because somebody turned the lantern out. Melody feels a tentacle wrap around her. She's able to kind of sidestep, so it doesn't, like, actually grab her or pull her or anything. But then she feels, like, another tentacle, like, it's not attacking or grabbing. It seems to be, like, at her feet. Jeff, it's your character's turns.
What does Chip see?
In terms of...
Melody.
There are two tentacles there. One that attempted to wrap around her but didn't. And the other one seems to be, like, at her feet. Kind of, like, rolling around. Like, just sort of, like... Almost like you ever put your hand out to a dog and a dog puts its paw on top of yours?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. The tentacle is kind of feeling her feet.
Okay, that's interesting. I don't really have anything to do. Okay. I'm just not sure what to do.
Fair enough.
Melody will keep doing the same thing.
Okay. Flynn. Oh no, sorry, Daniel.
The shaman is still praying to Justicia, the goddess of justice and mercy.
And that is a lawful god, I'm assuming, yes?
Yes, it is.
Are you lawful?
Yes.
Okay. Can I see a player's handbook? I want to see something.
What happens when you kill all players?
I think he already had that ready.
Flynn, your characters.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
Has anything changed? Obviously, the behavior of the tentacles around
Melody.
Correct.
Anything else? We started to.
You are definitely moving a little bit.
Okay, I'm gonna.
There's some resistance.
I'm gonna put Bub and Beezus on the oars as well.
Sure.
And can I get a sense of, like, where the tension is, like where the tentacles seem to be concentrated?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of arresting the back.
Okay. So I'm going to have them, I'll have Bub give the order to all row in the opposite direction.
So you're trying to go backwards then still, or are you trying to go forwards?
So if it has like pressure on the front of us and preventing us from going forward, we're going back out.
It's pressure pulling you backwards. That's why you were able to move backwards. It was holding you back.
Yeah, let's try to all go back and try to break free the tentacles and
Okay. See
what that does.
Go ahead and let's take your highest one.
That would be punch.
And roll me a d24. No, go ahead and let's roll it, the big one.
Oh,
roll
d30?
Yeah.
A D dirty? Because
you got a lot of characters doing all the same thing. We'll step you up.
Big Cunch! Fuck.
Eight.
I thought it was a one.
You are making some sort of movement, but you're not.
We all coordinate, but Trimothy's like, wait, which way?
Yeah. You got a lot of Trimothy. That going on.
Every.
That's the character I want to survive the most. just the most useless character that survives the entire time.
I am a level 20 edgelord.
You going up to level 10?
You can.
Jeff.
Yes.
This time, a tentacle does wrap around Melody, and it lifts her off the deck a little bit, and there's, like, a second tentacle that's, like, sort of arresting her in place. She's not being flung way up, she's not being torn at, mm-hmm. but she's sort of elevated off the deck.
Interesting.
It's your turn.
Chip is going to try and go help Ro. I don't know anything about the deities in this, but Melody will start praying to whatever the neutral god is.
There are several.
Cthulhu is one of the neutral gods,
Cthulhu
apparently.
Cthulhu is a neutral god.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I thought, too.
That's one that I always thought is intriguing.
That is interesting.
Well, I think the idea is that Cthulhu is considered a great old one who was there at the beginning, so Cthulhu accepts the balance between order and chaos. I don't know that I necessarily believe that, but...
It's an interesting concept.
Cthulhu it is. Whatever.
That's probably appropriate for...
Neutral would be Amon Tor, god of mysteries and riddles, Ildavir, goddess of nature, Pelagia, goddess of the sea, and Cthulhu, priest of the old ones.
Yeah, that one's fine.
Okay. Anything else you're doing, Jeff?
No, not really.
Okay. Daniel, roll me a d20. And add your personality.
2.
8. Flynn?
Keep rowing.
Why don't you roll me another d30? You got extra hands now.
Oh, yeah. We got it this time. Yeah! Ooh, 17.
Yeah, you are seemingly, you feel a bit of resistance. The resistance is lessening. You're able to kind of, the boat is definitely going backwards now. Okay. As if the Leviathan is letting loose a bit. Jeff, can Melody make me a personality roll?
Sure. It's a 6.
Okay. Who can see still? McCracken can see. Bub can probably see, and that's
Bub
it,
Bub and Cunch.
You see Melody's form get yanked down into the water.
No.
Melody, a strength roll.
Ooh.
19.
That's, like, really close.
It's like
spend some luck.
A 19 is like almost your max amount, and it's really close, Jeff. It's like really close.
Well, as you say, in terms of game mechanics, so basically you can see that Melody is fighting to not be drug under the water. She is basically, if you want to burn a point of luck for your halfling, he can donate her a point of luck, I believe, to have her go up one on that roll.
She can't spend her own luck?
She can't. I need to look at luck, but I don't
think
she
can.
Do
but she it's only one for one.
It's going to expend more if she uses it, though, right?
I don't remember.
If she
I'd
only needs one, she could spend one. I think halflings spend one and get two.
But I think that there are... I'd have to look in the luck section in, like, page 17. We got to get that figured out at some point. I wish it wouldn't do that. Yeah, right in there, Daniel. Yeah, any character can burn. Yes, you could burn. You could permanently burn. You could permanently. Melody could permanently burn 1 point of luck to make the DC of 20.
Yeah, he is still higher, and he can regenerate it. Okay.
So Melody hits the water, and it looks like she's going to be drugged down by the Leviathan, but somehow she's able to fight her way out to grab on to the boat as everyone continues to row. They've kind of got the momentum now. and you feel the tentacles all slide off as you are able to back the boat up. And you start heading back towards the shore.
Is there any other, like, way around? Like, maybe that's his home.
Everyone can get 2 experience for that, because that was also exciting.
There he is. Yeah. The Kraken roars as we leave.
You said 2?
Yep.
Almost to a level.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do from here?
The only other option we have is to go around the sea, try to go around it, but I don't think we're going to be able to escape it. Or go
like
back.
Skirt the edge of the cavern and like.
Or we go up and try and figure a little more of this puzzle out.
Yeah.
You can also fuck off if you want.
There are other areas that we could.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went down the stairs. We could go up.
Beware the well was a warning I got. But we haven't seen a well yet. You had something about the tower.
Tower's full of treasure.
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing that you had?
The dragon is...
Is give under, us a quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was below and will give us a quest.
And he will grant a wish if you fulfill his quest.
The dragon's probably on the other side of the cavern of the water.
Probably.
Oh. I don't know if the mural meant anything, then there's a dude over there doing a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, I'm not going to figure it out.
No, that's probably fair. Most of the characters should be at about 9.
8.
8.
8? 8 here, 8.
I have 8 and 7.
Okay. Where are you at, Flynn?
What's up? Sorry.
XP. XP. Enters XP.
My highest is 8.
Okay. So, if you want to take your 8s to 10s, then go ahead and take them to 10s and prepare characters for the next time we record.
Sure.
Then you can keep the other. So you would have one extra. So who would go up to 10? So Bub would go to 10. So you would be a dwarf level 1.
Mm-hmm.
McCracken
would go to 10, so you'd be a halfling level 1. And Daniel is to be decided. So if you guys want to look at rules like that, and then maybe we'll come back next time and see if you can finish Sailors on the Starless Sea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. And we will call it good for now. Our title track, Bustin' Loose with Lead, is used under Creative Commons Attribution 4 International License and was produced by Jason Shaw at Audionautix.com. Like what you just heard? Let us know on Twitter at Rancors_Brothel or send us a message on Facebook at the Rancors Brothel page. Want more content? Subscribe to our podcast on any major platform or visit RancorsBrothel.com for hundreds of other RPG actual play podcast episodes. Enjoy sharing memes and talking nerdy? Hit up other listeners on the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Thanks for listening. Keep circulating the tapes.